Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's Bible readings are twofold. First is Exodus 20, verse 15, and then Acts 5, 1 to 11. Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Acts 5, 1 to 11. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who learned about these events.
I wonder whether today you've considered what is the desire of your heart as you've arrived today. What is it that you want to experience as you come here today to encounter God, to spend time in His presence? What is it that you would like to, I guess, share with Him? What is it that you would like to ask of Him in regards to that personal relationship that you have? There's lots of times when we will spend our time talking about, you know, can you fix up my dodgy knee? Well, you know, I'm having a few problems with my elbow, and we'll talk about all those sort of things. But I wonder what it is about your relationship with God that you would really like to just share with Him today. As an example, maybe today you would go, you know what, I'm not feeling anywhere near as close to God as I would like to, or as I should. The joy of my salvation seems to be a thing of the past, and I'd love that to be refreshed. I would just love to be able to have a passion in me to spend more time in worship. I'd love to have a passion within me to spend more time in God's Word. I wonder if you, just to give it a few moments to think through that, what that would look like. Can I just encourage you to bow your heads? And just for a little while, just to think about what it is that you really passionately would love to receive from God. Now's a great time to talk to Him about that. And maybe there's something that would be really good just to kind of sort out with Him today and that sets you on a new path, a path that takes you closer into His presence. Just like to give you that opportunity. And sometimes to help us on that journey, there's words of a song, a hymn, that come to mind that help us to remember that passion that's ours. But it's a Bible verse that just reminds us of that thing that we want more than anything else. Maybe in your own mind you might like to just sing those words of that hymn, or that song in your own mind, or recite that Bible verse. I'd like to let you do that right now. Father, we know that's never been your desire to stand at a distance. It's never been your desire to be far from us. It's never been your desire to leave us feeling empty or out in the cold with our relationship with you. It's always been your desire that we could draw close, to sit in your presence, and just feeling as though we are one with you and that you're just loving us and talking to us. Father, as we've come to this place today, as we've taken these moments out, there have been lots of desires of people's hearts today. I pray, Father, just according to your great love for us, that you would hear the plea of people's hearts and that you would meet their needs. And Father, one of the realities is, as much as we think we know what we need, you know even more so what we really need. So would you bring that into our thinking? Would you restore to us the very things that we need so that we can walk and talk with you along life's narrow way? Would you create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us, and restore unto us the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we thank you that we can know that you will do that. Today, Father, I pray that each person who gathers in this place today will just feel a little closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the message today, there's one more matter that I just wanted to talk quickly about that I believe we really need to be praying about. As for people who keep in tune with the news, you'll know about the whole abortion law that's been just debated through Parliament in this last little while. Fortunately, it's been held off for a little while just yet, but it's a horrible debate, isn't it, when you're talking about the rights and wrongs of abortion. But one of the things that I really want to pray about is I certainly at one stage through the week became very much aware that there are an awful lot of ladies, potential mums and dads that are really struggling in this area as to what to do. Finding out they're pregnant and then really genuinely battling with what decision to make and how to make that decision. And somewhere along the line, we need to make sure that we are people who are compassionate towards those people who really struggle. There is the side of this debate which is just horrible and yucky and wrong and all that goes with that. the idea of choosing a child because of their gender or just because they want to have an abortion just because it's uncomfortable. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are real people with real struggles. And somewhere along the line, we as a church need to be compassionate people in all of that as well. So if we can just take a few moments, I would just like to pray in regards to all of this. Father, over the last little while, and it's been going on for a long time, this whole discussion about ending a young child's life even before they get to breathe in this world has been an ugly debate. And Father, we would know above all else that we just want to honour life. We want to honour the sanctity of every young life, every life. And that's where we know that you would want us to stand. But Father, in the midst of all of that, we recognise that there are lots of people who feel as though they have no choice, who don't have the support and the love and care of people around them. They feel judged by community, they feel judged by the church. And in all of that, Father, we cannot even come close to understanding the struggle that is theirs in all of that. Father, would you help us to be people who have your heart, people who have your compassion? Somehow help us, Father, to stand on what is truth, what is right. But at the same time, Father, dealing with it in a way as Jesus would have dealt with people going through those sort of struggles in his day. Father, it's easy for us to hold up a banner. It's easy for us to speak strong words that sound righteous, sound godly, and yet they're words that hurt. Father, would you help us to get that right? And now, Father, as we open your word today, I do ask that, as you do so often, you would just speak into our lives and help us to really deal with this topic once again in a way that honours you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today we come to number 8. As you can see there, no cockroach nutting. Okay, no cockroach nutting, or quite simply, do not steal. On first reading, I have to say, this command certainly seems straightforward enough. In some ways, it probably seems like the most straightforward command that we have. Just don't steal. There you go, we can all go home. There, that wasn't so hard, was it? Don't steal. Don't walk into a shop, pick up something off the shelf, and walk out without paying for it. Don't do it, okay? Don't decide that you want to break into someone's house, put a large screen TV under your arm and walk out. Don't do it. That's stealing. You're not allowed to do it, okay? And we've got that sorted. All right, this isn't being too hard at all. I think we can just about go home very quickly today. In New South Wales alone, there's something like 30 stealing offences every single hour. Those are the ones that are caught. So you imagine how many things are getting stolen every hour. In the great US of A, there are something like 10 million acts of theft and robbery every year. 10 million. It's an extraordinary number. And what we could do today, and what we probably should do, is we should stand at a distance and just shake our heads and say, that's terrible, that's disgusting. But today's focus is not going to be on everyone out there. Today's focus is going to be on us in this building. So everyone, empty your pockets, empty your handbags. We're going to see, okay, what you've arrived with, what you've taken. We'll see if we can solve that problem. No, we are going to talk about it from our perspective here. And as we delve deeper into this command, we're left with, I think, a number of very challenging reflections. And the heart of it, I think it's kind of this. Who we are and what we do should always be far more focused on what we can give, how we can support others, how we help others, rather than what we can take and what we can get for our own glorification. Let's start by looking at this commandment in its setting. Let me get the right thoughts in. Let's look at the commandment in setting. In Deuteronomy 4:13, we are told these 10 commandments were written on 2 tablets. Now, I think that's interesting. 2 stone tablets. So I think most of us would probably like to think that there's 5 on one tablet and 5 on the other. We don't actually know what was written on each of the tablets. But we'd like to think, because that's kind of like good symmetry, if that's the case. Others would like to think that these 2 tablets actually had the 10 commandments written on each of them. And that was, there was kind of like the God side, and there was a people side. They had a shortage of carbon paper in those days, so they had to write it on 2 separate tablets. And so it was God's side of the covenant and man's side of the covenant. I don't think that's the case. I don't know what was written specifically on each of them. Some would say that there was a lot of other aspects of the law written on the tablets as well. But let's just assume for a moment that there is just 5 of the commands on the one tablet and 5 of the commands on the other tablet. So the second tablet really contains all of the aspects of what we are looking at today. The last 5 commandments could all be summed up by this commandment, do not steal. They're all contained in these last 5. You're all looking a little confused. But let me just explain to you. See, the 6th commandment, if you remember, was you shall not murder. In other words, you shall not steal someone else's life. The 7th commandment, you shall not commit adultery, or you shall not steal another man's wife, or as a woman, you should not steal another woman's husband. The 8th commandment, well, that's the one we're doing today, that's pretty straightforward, you shall not steal. The 9th command, you shall not give false testimony, or you shall not steal the truth. You should not steal your neighbour's honour or your neighbour's integrity. And the 10th, you shall not covet or you shall not desire to steal anything off your neighbour. So you see, they're all kind of wrapped up in this command, do not steal. At the heart of this commandment, there is more than anything else the realisation of what we actually have to start with. When we come to this command, what we actually have to do to start with is we need to give thanks and praise to God for his generosity, for his graciousness in giving us what we have. That's where it all starts. If we start in the point of saying, you know what, God has looked after me way beyond what I deserve. Everything I have is an extraordinary blessing from God. If we start at that point, and then we move from that point to saying that all I have is a gift from God, and so I'm going to look for ways in which I can serve God and bless God with what I have. If we start at that point, then the desire to steal is all of a sudden done away with, because we're looking at the blessing we have and the way in which we can bless our neighbour. So God, when we understand that God has given us what we have, then we also need to understand under God's provision and providence, he has also chosen to bless our neighbour. He's chosen to bless the people around us. Now, one of the things is that that may not look equal. They might look like they've received more. They might look like they've received in a greater measure. It's never going to look equal to us. But that's not our concern. It's always going to be according to God's provision, and that should be okay with us. So within us, there needs to start with a need of contentment that prevents us from pursuing anything in a way that dishonors God. That's first and foremost, that we don't pursue anything in a way that dishonors God. And secondly, we should not ever pursue anything that is to the detriment of our neighbour or anyone else. I love the way in the notes that you'll be looking at this week in Bible study, that the sermon study notes highlight a number of examples of the way in which there is stealing taking place. Employment theft, stealing by borrowing, robbing God from tithes, robbing God of our good works, robbing God of love and respect. I think that you're going to find those very reflective and a significant part of what we're talking about today. But I'm not going to highlight those so much in the sermon today because this topic is so broad and all the areas that we can look at. So I encourage you to look at those in the Bible study notes in addition to what we're talking about today. The first thing that I'd really like to highlight today, even before we get to today's passage, is the danger of us stealing the joy. Stealing the joy of a person's encounter with God. Now, very often we say, well, that's not really stealing. Stealing is a lot of a monetary thing. Well, actually, that's almost the least part of this discussion. The biggest part of this discussion is stealing something that prevents a person from experiencing the fullness of God. Stealing the joy of a person's encounter with God. You know, as Jesus walked this earth and he spent time with people, he faced this challenge all the time. As Jesus performed extraordinary miracles like giving sight to the blind or causing a bedridden person to be able to cast their mattress aside and walk, you would think that everyone would have just been celebrating those moments. They would have been rejoicing in the street. But instead, there were people on the side saying, that's not how things should happen. You shouldn't do that. It's all wrong. And so this moment that would cause a person to go walking and leaping and praising God, it is all of a sudden quashed and pushed down. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about your experience. And this moment is suppressed. There have been lots of times within the church where people have wanted to rejoice in God. And everyone else just looks down in the mouth and almost suppresses everything that they're talking about. As an example, when Australia was hit by what a lot of people call the charismatic movement, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? 50 years ago, something like that. The mainstream church just wanted to label it all wrong. Everything about the charismatic movement is wrong. And they wanted to declare from the rooftops it was the work of the devil and it needed to be denounced. Well, you all get too upset thinking that I'm totally endorsing everything that went on. I'm not doing that at all. There were lots of things where I think we needed to be concerned. There were aspects of what was taking place that didn't line up with Scripture. We would all understand that. There were aspects where you'd say, well, hang on, we really need to give some careful consideration to this. A lot of it needed to be seen in the light of Scripture, and sure, it didn't necessarily add up. But as much as that was the case, I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that in the midst of all that was taking place, in the midst of it all, I have no doubt that by God's grace, in the most extraordinary way, God allowed the redemptive work of Jesus Christ to come to many, many people at that time. People who had no awareness of the Saviour, people who had no awareness of what the goodness of walking with Christ could look like, were wonderfully transformed and became Christians that are still Christians today, are walking with their Saviour. And they will walk with their Saviour all the way to glory. You imagine what it was like within the churches. as they would go and try and find their way into a church, and as they kind of express, this is the encounter I had and I want to stand in church and rejoice in the Lord, yet there were many of them finding their way into churches. And the church just did wanted to do all it could to steal their joy, to steal from them their experience and to suppress them, to say that's not how it happens in this church. What a theft was taking place in those days. It also has to be said that the reverse takes place as well. The reverse takes place as well, where there are people who genuinely find great joy in the church, in the solemnness of church, the reverence and the quietness of church. There are many people who have walked and talked with God in the beauty of singing the hymns and the reading of Scripture, even in the reciting of Scripture. And it would be true to say that those who have had a more vibrant encounter with God will look at those people and almost frown at them, almost laugh at them, and somehow try and say that their experience is less Holy Spirit filled. It's less real than having had the Holy Spirit experience. Both are just equally as wrong, and both steal that joy. It's hard to get it right as a church, let me just say. When you arrive at church on a Sunday, I know that there are people who would like to be quiet and have a reflective time before church starts. It's what you grew up with. It's what you love. I understand that. And at the same time, I also know that there are people who walk to church more than anything else. This is a moment of celebration. You want to catch up with your friends. You want to talk through that. And it's actually a moment that you love to do that. Try getting that right, where you allow both to be acceptable. That's what we need to do as a church, isn't it? So how do we get that right? Surely it starts with a desire in our heart not to steal another person's joy. It starts in our heart by not wanting to steal another person's experience and the way in which they want to experience their God. We rejoice with them. It just needs to be very aware and on guard that we want to support and uplift everyone who would call Jesus Christ their Lord. Let's not be people who steal others' joy. That's a long way around to get to today's passage. So there's my little venting today. The passage we have before us today is all about Ananias and Sapphira. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Verse 2, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received from the Lord? On first reading, stealing might not be the greatest problem that comes to mind here. Maybe the biggest problem that you read as you read this passage is selfishness. Because as we read in the verses leading up to this event, all the believers have been sharing their possessions. Everyone else have been really generous with their possessions. Now, they might not have had to share quite as much. I think one of the things that we probably assume in this passage is that Ananias and Sapphira are actually quite wealthy people. So in some ways, they may well have put into the kitty more than anyone else. And so in part, they're thinking to themselves, look, we're being even more generous than those other people. They've only put in just a small amount. We're putting in all of this. So for us to keep some for ourselves seems totally appropriate. But if selfishness isn't the biggest problem in this passage, then maybe you might be thinking to yourself, maybe it's lying, because it even says it in the passage. And maybe I should have used this passage for next week. It even directly relates to lying to the Holy Spirit. But I think it's fair to say that lying is more of a secondary sin. There's such a thing as secondary sins and third sins and so on. But the sin of lying actually comes to cover up the first, though, doesn't it? So when did the stealing happen? I think stealing took place the moment they declared, this is everything. As soon as they uttered those words, this is everything, they really are saying, we're giving to you the apostles. We are giving to our fellow believers. And we're giving to God everything from the sale of the land, everything. You get it all. You see, well, as soon as they uttered those words, everything from that sale was no longer theirs. And one of the things that really stands out to me is that as you see what happens here, they don't actually just steal the bit that they kept back either, by the way. I want to suggest to you today, they stole the whole lot. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. They laid all of this at the apostles' feet. How can you accuse them of stealing that? But I think one of the things that took place is even as they bought that portion and laid it at the apostles' feet, they were using that for their own purposes. They wanted the glory of that moment for the apostles to say, look how great Ananias and Sapphira are. They sold a block of land and they have given us all of this. And Ananias say, yeah, we did. We gave all of that. There's a sense in which they wanted to steal the glory of this gift. They wanted to steal the glory of this moment, knowing full well that they still had plenty of money left for themselves as well. They wanted everyone to look at them and what they had done. And if praise wasn't forthcoming from the apostles, then I have no doubt their language afterwards, they hadn't been cast dead, that's what stopped this from happening. But I have no doubt that afterwards they would have walked around and said, oh, by the way, did you happen to notice that we gave everything from that sale of the land to the church? Not just most of it, we gave all of it. And everyone would then go, yeah, great, and nice, you'd be tremendous. They were looking at the gift for themselves. They were stealing the money, even the money they gave. If praise wasn't forthcoming, then they would have felt as though they were being shortchanged. We need to be very careful that in our gifts, we give to the Lord, we give with a heart that doesn't want praise for ourselves. In keeping some back, their gift wasn't to honour God. It wasn't to support the gathering of the believers, but for selfish glorification. And that is recognition is stealing in its truest sense. It's interesting that in the recording of this event, the declaration that Ananias and Sapphira kept back, and that's the phrase used there in the NIV, kept back part of the money. That phrase, kept back, actually means to rob or to steal. For all of you Greek scholars who know all of you Greek really well, you'll know that in Titus 2.10, the same word is used as keep back in that phrase. And this is what it says in Titus 2.10. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try and please them, not to talk back to them, not to purloin, that's the Greek word, not to steal from them. So the fact that Ananias and Sapphira kept back something was an act of stealing. You'll also notice that nowhere in this whole passage is there any reference given to how much money is at stake here. In fact, we don't actually even know it was the sale of a property or land. That's just a little bit of a summation. The idea of property could have been just something they owned. But there's no reference in any of this as to how much. They owned more than anything else, and they gave 90%. No reference to that. Or they gave $1 million and kept $200,000 for themselves. There's no reference to the value. And why is that? Because the value is not the point, is it? The value of what it is has no reference here whatsoever. It plays no part in the discussion. And as we keep saying each week through this series, it's all about the heart. There could have been a person who came with the smallest gift, $10, just kept 50 cents for themselves. The discussion would have been the same. The value wasn't the point, the heart was the point. It's all about our heart. Peter asks, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart? Stealing is something that the devil rejoices in. He really does. He doesn't almost care what kind of stealing it is. The devil just knows that stealing just causes immense damage. The stealing of monetary things. The stealing of someone's life. The stealing of someone's wife. The stealing of someone's character. Stealing people's joy. All of these things just do immense damage. Today, where does the challenge really lie for you? I would hope that as you sit in this room, we're not going to have problems with you walking out and, you know, and stealing new TVs or new fridges or anything like that. I hope that's not the challenge. But there is a challenge for us. What do we steal? What are we at most risk of in stealing from others? Is it monetary things? Is it stealing someone's joy? Is it stealing someone's experience of the Lord? Is it stealing someone else's character? We talked about gossip earlier, where we steal someone's character. Where does the challenge lie for you today? It's almost impossible for any of us to walk out and say, well, no, none of this relates to me. Are you stealing other Christians' experiences? Are you stealing their joy of the Lord? Are you stealing, robbing people of their personality? Are you stealing, robbing people of their strengths and their spiritual gifts? Are you stealing from God what should be His? Not just the finances, although that's very real, but also the gift that is given to us as well. You see, this is a very serious topic that requires honest reflection and a real response that is one that God would want from you. As I said today needs to be a lot more about giving. It needs to start by understanding that God has given to us way more than we deserve. He has given to us far more than we could ever use for ourselves. We need to rejoice in the riches and the blessing that God has given to us, and then we need to look for the way in which we use those giftings to honour God. Today's discussion is a discussion about what we give rather than what we get. We need to give out of our riches, we need to give out of our blessing, we need to give out of our joy. That's the kind of heart that God wants from us. In that setting, there's no room for the devil to work. In that setting, the temptation to steal or rob becomes less or less. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. Restore the joy of my salvation and help me restore the joy of salvation in others. Not for my sake, but for God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, as we have looked at this topic today, as is often the case, it can be really easy for us to stand back at a distance and almost think it really doesn't relate to us. It's something that others do. It's something that less godly people do. They are the ones that steal. But Father, there are times when we get it wrong. There are times when we do immense damage to others by stealing their joys, stealing their experiences. Father, would you help us to face up to the challenges that you place in our heart? And right now, today, Father, if there is something that has immediately come to mind for people here today, where maybe they are dishonouring you in the way in which they deal with things, Father, would you bring it into their thinking? Would you allow there to be repentance taking place and restoration also taking place as well? Because, Father, our desire is to not steal, to not rob, but to live in the fullness of the great blessings that you have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.